Thank you, Michelle, for that beautiful song. And thank you, Allen family, for that nice children's story. You know, in over 50 years of preaching, that's the first time I've ever had a children's story custom provided to match my sermon. If you come for a visit, by the way, it was nice they included you, little Henry. If you come and visit me at my house, I'll introduce you to Alexa. Some of you have already met Alexa, but she's there for the sole purpose of serving. I can walk in the room and say, Alexa, turn on the light, and the light comes on. I can say, Alexa, find me a John Wayne movie. And my TV is turned on, and there's some movies to pick from. And I say, Alexa, play number 3. And she'll start that movie for me. Pretty amazing, isn't it? What our words can do these days. Now, I'm not making this up. This is true. Don't have to touch a remote control. Don't have to push a button. Just my word is enough to get it done. I can also say, Alexa, who was the 12th president of the United States? And she answers, Zachary Taylor. Or I can say, how fast can a cheetah run? And she'll say, up to 75 miles an hour. Isn't that amazing? A little bitty box, about that big, sitting over next to my TV, and all this is coming, and all I have to do. And the only time that Alexa speaks is when she's spoken to. I have to ask her a question, or she doesn't say a word. That's a man's dream. Get that kind of service and no back talk. It kind of reminds me of the story of creation as recorded in the first book of the Bible. We're told, you don't even have to look it up, you'll recall that God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. It's kind of like saying, turn on the light. And there's light, just through the word of God. And then a little bit later in the same book, the book of Genesis, we read about God explaining to Adam and Eve in their new Garden of Eden what was permissible and what was not, what they could eat and what they could not eat. And then a little bit later, more words, these words coming from a serpent, actually coming from Satan through the serpent. And what did those words say? They said, God is a liar. Don't believe those words that God told you. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you true words. And he was able to deceive Adam and Eve. And they believed his lie. They believed that God had lied to them. By the way, none of these words in Genesis were spoken in English. That tells us something important. That we're the foreigners in this story, and that the only rights that we have to claim the promises of God is by invitation. He could just as easily have built a wall to keep us out because we're foreigners, but he invites us in. The kingdom of God is open to every nation, kindred, tongue, people. Doesn't matter what your religion, what your race, what your background, what your social status or economic status, everyone is not only welcome, they're urged to respond to the invitation of God. We often think of God as this harsh judge sitting on the throne and just looking for some excuse to eliminate us or to disqualify us from heaven. But that's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve is a loving heavenly Father who looks down in mercy and pity and grace and says, I want you all to be a part of my kingdom. Amen. If you're not a part of heaven, It's not God's fault. Throughout history, words have built and destroyed. Words have encouraged and crushed people's spirits. The power of our words is something beyond our imagination. If you don't believe it, just ask Penelope. Those words can build us up or they can tear us down. And oftentimes we just don't stop and think before we speak, and the things that we say wind up hurting people. Now, if you don't believe this is true, try to preach a sermon. Some of you have, some of you do on a regular basis. It's a challenge. Many preachers in today's society, for fear of offending someone, avoid anything controversial or anything that might hurt your feelings or step on your toes. That's not what God called his preachers to do. Others go to the other extreme and say, I don't care what you think, I'm going to say what's on my mind, and if you don't like it, lump it. And as a result of that, many are turned away from God and his message and his good news of the gospel. The truth lies somewhere between the extremes of having something to say and yet say it carefully. Try to choose words that are not going to be overly offensive. I step on toes. If I don't, I'm not doing my job as a preacher, as a pastor, as a teacher. God didn't call me to placate people. He didn't call me to entertain. He called me to preach his word. And his word sometimes is offensive because our nature is so different from his nature. His ways are not our ways. Proverbs 25 verse 19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Didn't say either one, it said both. If you put your trust and your confidence in someone you think is your friend and they betray that confidence, it's like a broken tooth. Ooh, that's painful, isn't it? You ever had a broken tooth? And a foot out of joint. A disjointed foot as well. Confidence in an unfaithful person. There's great power in words. And that power can be for good or it can be for evil. Our scripture reading this morning was Luke chapter 6, verse 45, that says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. That's logical. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I ask you this morning, what is the abundance of your heart? Because that's what's going to determine what kind of words come out of your mouth. If your heart is evil, self-centered, self-serving, then you're not going to be building up others with your words, and vice versa. The abundance of our heart needs to be the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. If we are so filled with love in our heart, then what kind of words are we going to be speaking? Going to be speaking words of love. And what is that going to do to those around us? It's going to attract. You know, we can put up electronic signs. We can run ads in the newspaper or on TV or on the internet, whatever we want to do, and nothing is going to attract people to this church like words of love. And those words of love can't be artificial. They have to come from a heart filled with love. We have to be sharing genuine love. And as we do that, this church will be filled to overflowing. That's not a matter of numbers. I never put a lot of stock in numbers. But the important thing is that we will be doing what God asks us to do. And that's spreading what? The good news of the gospel. What is the good news of the gospel? That you better not eat pork anymore? What's the good news of the gospel? That you shouldn't wear the wrong kind of clothes or go to the wrong kind of entertainment? What is the good news of the gospel? It's that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he paid the death penalty for our sins. That's the good news. It's no longer based on my performance. It's based on his performance. It's based on his record, not mine. Matthew 15:11 says, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of his mouth, that defileth a man." It's not what we're eating and drinking. It's not what we're bringing into our bodies that is defiling us. It's what's coming out of our mouth that's defiling us. And not only does it defile us, but it defiles those around us. It discourages people. It pulls people down instead of building them up. I don't quote a lot of spirit of prophecy from my sermons, and one day I'll spend a little time and explain to you why. But this is a statement that I thought was kind of interesting from Adventist Home, page 440. It says, "We think with horror of the cannibal who feasts on the still warm and trembling flesh of his victim. But are the results of even this practice more terrible than are the agony and ruin caused by misrepresenting motive, blackening reputation, dissecting character? Let the children and the youth as well learn what God has to say about these things. Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And there she's quoting Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Before you speak, think. I should have done a little PowerPoint on this, but you can picture it. Think, a little acronym. The first letter of the word is what? Some of you don't know how to spell think. T. What does that T stand for? Is it true? Before you say something, stop and ask yourself these questions. Number one, is it true? If it's not true, don't say it. Number two, the second letter of the word think. H. Is it helpful? Just because it's true doesn't mean it's appropriate to say. Have you ever heard somebody just spreading these stories all over the place, and you say, you know, I'd really rather not hear gossip? Oh, this is not gossip. This is true. I know it for a fact. Does that prevent it from being gossip? Does it prevent it from being harmful? Is it true? Is it helpful? T-H-I. Is it inspiring? What kind of influence is this story that I'm about to tell, what kind of influence is it going to have on the hearer? Is it going to inspire them? Is it going to bring them closer to God? If not, maybe it'd be better unsaid. T-H-I-N. Is it necessary? Is there some purpose in saying it? You know, so much of what we say, there's no reason to say it. It may not be false. It may not even be mean. It may just be unnecessary. You ever know people that just talk to hear themselves? Got lots of amens on that.
Yes.
It's a common problem. Some people just talk to hear themselves. T-H-I-N.
Hey.
Is it kind? I tell you, that'll block out a big part of the talk in our society if we just apply it. Is it kind? Is what you're about to say kind? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? I guarantee you, if it meets all of those criteria, then you can say it without any fear of saying the wrong thing. But if any one of these characteristics is not met, then maybe we need to think about what we're about to say. I know my dad had a little poem that he used to quote when we were just kids. He says, "The wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard." Now, why can't we all be like that bird? And Mama used to tell us when I was a kid, and you've heard this before, it wasn't original with Mama, I know, but she would say, if you can't think of something nice to say,
don't
say anything. Just be quiet. Good counsel. Would be good counsel for many situations. Do you know the tongue is the only muscle in the body that's only attached at one end? I guess that's why it flops around so much. The tongue is small, but don't underestimate its power. James had a way of getting right to the point when he was writing the book of James. And in chapter 3, beginning with the first verse, and this is from the New King James Version, it says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Good counsel. If you can get out of being a preacher or a teacher, maybe you'll escape some judgment that comes along with it. "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man." Do you go through a day without stumbling in your words? If you do, you're perfect. How many of you are perfect? Don't see many hands. "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in a horse's mouth." Now, I know some of you, the Allen family, knows about bits in a horse's mouth. Little bitty thing, just puts a little pressure on the tongue at the right time in the right way. Then you can control that big old animal, right? "Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets the fire, the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." These are not my words. This is coming from God's word. The tongue sometimes is set on fire by hell. "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. I'm out of time, so I'm going to close with this statement from Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. This again comes from the New King James Version. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We all have a tongue, but as it's been said, we were given two eyes, two ears, and just one tongue. There's a reason for that. Maybe we ought to talk about half as much as we listen and we see. God will bless us with the right spirit and with the right words. But sometimes it takes a little effort on our part too. It's so easy to fall into the trap of gossip. My message today was gospel workers. You may have thought that was a typo. You might have thought it was that little book that Ellen White wrote called Gospel Workers. But no, it's gospel. Too many gospel workers. Ask God, as I'm asking God, to touch my tongue with that coal from the altar, to give me purity of speech, because my words can help or they can hurt. Father, again we pause to thank you for all of the blessings that you give us. And Lord, now we ask that you dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Walk with us every day. Help us control our tongues and use our words to help and not to hurt. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.